The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
And knew I would jump on any bull they gave me. But yeah, so I made up on cheated. I stole for the FBI. Sold drugs for them. Recorded illegally for the FBI.
Hey guys, it's Jose Galison. You're watching No Way Jose. Find us on No Way Jose YouTube channel. Not this episode though. Rumble, and it'll be up on the audio podcatchers as well. I do want to, as you guys can see, this is a Sandy Hook episode, so that's why I'm not putting up on YouTube. And with that, I do want to take the moment to let you guys know that today's episode is brought to you by our friends over at NadeoShaveCo.com. Makes it a little bit easier when I'm not able to put out the signal out there on YouTube. I have these guys supporting me. Now, if you're tired of that razor burn irritation and ingrown hair is caused by those deep penetrating cartridges, those multi-blade nonsense, then the Big Shave has been psyoping the American people for decades with their expensive multi-blade razor scam. Go back to the traditional shave. Shave like your grandpa used to. This thing's pretty slick. You can see the design. I'm almost using it like a fidget spinner sometimes. But it's solid, well-designed. It's not going to break apart on you. The standard issue comes with 100 stainless steel blades. That's supposed to last you about a year. That's about $75. But let's be real. That'll last you a lot longer depending on how you shave. But if you're one of those people who shave on the regular, shave daily, you need to get the Quarter Shave Club, and that gets you at about 25 cents per blade. Those blades at least last you a day to 3 days, depending on how rough your face is, I guess. And here soon we're going to be having, actually now it's out, he's got shave soaps for, you know, nice soaps to shave with French green clay. I have some on the way here soon, so I'll let you guys know how that is when that comes so I can give my endorsement of that then. But yeah, these guys support me, so if you want to support me and in a roundabout way and get something back for it, this is your way to do it. It's a COVID mandate refusing company. This company was born out of refusing the mandate. He had to do some entrepreneurial stuff to get by after they booted him out of the military. But yeah, definitely go support him. Use Jose at checkout and NadeoShaveCo.com. Let's go ahead and get our guest into it. We're talking about old Sandy Hook. What's up, my bud? How you doing?
I'm good.
Good. Glad to have you back. This is part four, but in a certain way, this almost feels like a start over because I haven't paid attention as much as I should to some of your ramblings on Twitter and your research. But it looks like you found a whole lot more new angles. You're almost a borderline new Sandy Hook man. I don't know. You can correct me if I'm wrong. But yeah, it sounds like you've kind of stumbled on how this may or may not tie into PatCon. And so I don't know if you have any thoughts on that before we get into it.
What initially got me back interested in it was Wolfgang Halbig. I was just randomly going through my browser, and I found out his son might have went to the White House, and Wolfgang Halbig got a letter of recommendation from Jeb Bush. And I found that, I was like, that makes absolutely no sense. So that kind of got me back interested in relooking at some stuff.
Awesome. And it's I think Sandy Hook's come back up a little bit in the zeitgeist. I mean, this episode will come, you know, for the patrons, this will be a little bit more timely. But even then, I still feel like we're not missing the time window to talk about this, for even though it's coming out a week later, because there was an assassination attempt on former President Trump. And a lot of people are making a lot of comparisons, because a lot of people immediately went to thinking, you know, it was staged. Then obviously there's the angle of that now the righties, the rightoids start wanting to shit on the lefties, trying to get them fired and stuff like that. A lot of people making comparisons to, well, actually, no, we had Dom Lucra, that douchebag, who was even talking about wanting to do a lawsuit against anyone who claimed that it was staged. And I want to be completely same with this. Actually, I guess roughly, you know, I'm similar to Sandy Hook. I don't have a strong opinion on Sandy Hook because I haven't dug into it nearly enough to really have too strong opinion. But I definitely don't buy the official narrative. But I also don't think it was entirely staged. I think likely people died, although I don't think it's necessarily what we think it is. So there might be some trickery there. And that's the same way it is for me with the assassination. I don't think, as of now, I'm still open to it. And that's kind of my whole point. And I think people should be open to it. Is I'm open to the idea that stage, but I don't think so. I feel like it'd be too much to do, but I still pay attention. I don't think that's something you want to throw out as a possibility, because then you aren't looking for it. Because, I mean, shit, the CIA were like trained by like magicians and shit at some point. Like they do misdirection type stuff. Like so I don't know. I have a hard time believing it could be pulled off in today's landscape, but it's a possibility, and I don't think we should discredit it. I don't know if you have any thoughts on all that, because there are a lot of parallels to be had between Sandy Hook and this. And I guess I'm just more of the opinion, I'm just kind of annoyed with all the people kind of just being faggots about this. You know what I mean?
Yeah. There was a, on earlier on my news feed, there was a video going around. It was supposed to be a slowed down video of the ear that got shot.
Yeah, it was the wrong ear. Yeah.
And they were like, see, look how stupid it is. It was real. But it turns out like, it's like a reverse image, like mirrored, yeah. Like just the wrong ear. So like that's kind of weird. Like what the fuck? Why did his other ear do that?
Yeah, I think I even heard Dave Smith on his episode that dropped today publicly. I'm pretty sure he even referenced it just offhand. Like, oh yeah, we saw it. Oh, and this new video came out and I saw it. But he said it like really quickly. So maybe he was referring to something else, or like maybe I misheard him. But I was like, shit, because that's all it takes is that now that enters the zeitgeist. And like, don't get me wrong, I think he probably did get shot in the ear, but. It's also like, that's not proof. And that could, if, let's say it was staged. Yeah. It's like, oh, now all the influencers around me are like, oh, look at you stupid people who think it's staged. And it's like, well, in fact, you're the stupid one here. But I mean, the normal people will just see that and move on and probably not, that don't pay attention to this will take away, oh, yeah, there's a video of him, the ear getting shot. You know what I mean? Like,
they couldn't fake that.
Yeah, they couldn't fake it. It's not like it could be literally weird shadows in a CG. It's not, it wasn't even that good, even just for that. Like, because it was really grainy, and, like, even if it was the right ear, I'd be like, I don't know, that could just be, like, some weird shadow being cast. I mean, it looked like it, but I don't know, it was grainy to me. And I mean, to me, even, like, at face value, I was like, this isn't really that great a proof.
Well, there is an actually pretty good parallel is a lot of the, I was watching InfoWars, it happened, what, Saturday? So Sunday, I was like, I wonder what the fuck they're saying about this. So I went on there, and outside of Alex Jones, they were praying for the first 15. So like, I was like, all right, that's weird, whatever. But they're immediately, it's real, 100% real. They had one guy, like he did a presentation of like, here's the audio. He reacted. Then you hear the sound. It was real. So like, they're kind of like clearly running, like hammering this in. Like it is real. Like don't entertain anything else.
Yeah.
And how that ties into Sandy Hook is like, you had almost immediately people saying it was fake. And all these, Alex Jones didn't say it till he started copying other people, but like he was pretty soon after it.
Yeah, which is that's kind of what honestly Alex Jones does. Like I was listening to him on Candace Owens because he just did an interview, I don't know. There's a few things now that I've dug more into the parapolitics world. Sometimes he just does frustrate you. There's a few things that I'm like. Like, I'd hear him and be like, that was kind of sloppy, the way you said that little factoid. When he just says it offhand. So I do get where researchers get upset with him. But, I mean, to some extent, he sells himself as a researcher. I mean, I think to some extent, maybe you could say he is. But really, he kind of does, like, what I do, but on a bigger level, which is where I interview different people. And, I mean, I retain some of it. So I do have some level of, like, I kind of know what I'm talking about. But a lot of times I'm talking with the degree of certainty of like I've talked to someone who knows what they were talking about. So not everything that I'm talking about is really coming from a firm base of knowledge. And so I think he's very much that character as well. But yeah, it seems like you're not allowed to talk about that. And it, to me, that was the first thing I was thinking when this happened. And it just got to a point where there's so many different things where I'm like, I don't know. There's so many different camera angles, so many people with cameras there that I'm like, I don't know. It would be hard to pull off. But at the same time, like I know, like the example I used when we were arguing about on Tower Gang, I brought up RFK. And I don't know, I haven't read Lisa Pease's book, but I did that whole series with her and she swears she believes Sirhan used blanks. And I've heard people say whether it was blanks or not, it's a little bit of beside the point. I think it's probably, honestly, just makes more sense he would use blanks since it's pretty clear his bodyguard shot him from the back. And if you have someone shooting from directly at you, if you had some sort of op setup, I don't really think you're going to want to receive, you know, stray fire like that, like coming right at you, because that's a strong possibility at that point. But either way, whether they were real or not, he definitely seems like the bodyguard shot him from the back of the head. And yeah. So, which if you think about that, that's like magic. That's misdirection right there. So, I mean, it's not that crazy. They could do things that kind of just draw your eyes over here while something's going on over here. You know what I mean? It's not that really that crazy. Magicians have been doing it for fucking time immemorial. So the idea that the elites can't pull like big magic tricks like this where they, shoot a couple people in the crowd and, you know, have some sort of fucking prosthetic squib that explodes. And I mean, I don't really feel like it's actually that crazy. Now, the idea is it's just a matter of like, would they be able to pull it off? Because I like all the people involved, I fully believe. I mean, I guess I don't know Trump's heart, but I've known enough about him to really not buy that he's the good guy. I mean, obviously it's just a bunch of bad guys up there. But I mean, I really am of the belief these people wouldn't really hesitate to do it if they could get away with it. You know what I mean? Like, why wouldn't they?
Yeah.
So
my biggest thing would be like,
yeah,
I don't believe you could talk Trump into doing that. Like, there's no fucking way. Like, we promise it's just going to be the ear.
Well, that's the thing. That's what I'm getting. Everyone brings that up. And I feel like, if you're like, oh, he'd take a, I really feel like it's probably would be something different. Like he would, the only way it would make sense to me is he'd have to be in on it and it would have to be some sort of like prosthetic squib, like of some sort. Yeah. All you would need is something under the skin, under the, you know, that at a certain time there, fuck, it was like what, decades ago, they had heart attack guns. They were fucking, they found like shit, like they had crazy shit like way back when. And like the idea that they wouldn't be able to pull off some red stuff on an ear. It's not that, I don't know. I don't feel like that's that crazy. Everyone like rolls their eyes, but it's like, but the people who've done deep digging into parapolitics is like, well, it's not that crazy. There's been a lot weirder shit. So I don't know. I don't think it'd be crazy that could happen. That there would be some sort of, oh, he just knows. Oh, now's the time. Oh, fucking, oh, the thing explode. Oh, blood. And then, you know what I mean? Like, I don't think that'd be that hard. I mean, dude is basically like part of his shtick is being a brand guy. And also he was a WWE guy. So it's like, I don't know. He probably could sell that. Now, would he? I don't know. I mean, it just seems a bit far-fetched to me, but crazier things have happened. So I guess I just don't like the instinct of people like, you know, scoffing at that. And like, and actually just genuinely like the rights can kind of fucking triggered by it. It's actually pretty gay. And you were in that thread where someone immediately called me a libtard, and I was like, because I wasn't even defending it. I forget what the point was. Oh, I was making fun of Dom Lucro, whatever the fuck his name is,
the black Jewish guy or whatever.
Yeah, making the black Jew tunnels guy. I was making fun of him for fucking saying he was going to do like a lawsuit against all the people who fucking, you know, are denying that it happened or that it was staged or whatever. And I just, I don't know, that's where, like, I said something about how he was stupid and then really, oh, you're a libtard.
Yeah,
like,
retarded.
Yeah. Like I've done this whole series. Like, I'm not like, what do you mean? I'm a libtard, but okay. But yeah, I guess we've rambled. I don't know if you have any like final thoughts on the assassination, cause I do feel like it has a lot of parallels, but I guess we've kind of hit on that a little bit.
Thoughts would be like, it's not this would be like the most simplest thing that out of all the hoaxes and fake stuff they've done, it would probably be one of the easiest things to do, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, you have a couple people in the crowd, shoot a couple fucking bystanders, or someone on a tower at somewhere else, shoot some of the bystanders, and then you fucking have a squib that goes off, and oh, and then you shoot some that fucking patsy who drew a whole bunch of attention to himself, that everyone's like, oh, what the fuck, while everyone's pointing fingers at the Secret Service. I don't think it's that crazy. And then, and a lot of people say, oh, well, you would have to have so many people in on it. I'm like, I don't necessarily think that. You'd have to have the right people into it. And you know, you force people, and then a lot of people are like, well, Biden would have to be in it. I'm like, no, he wouldn't.
No, fuck off.
Yeah, well, because he's like over the Secret Service or whatever. I'm like,
yeah.
I mean, the people, the opposite side of the people, it's like, even if they did feel like they're like, this was staged, or even if they had some evidence, they would be in a position that they would have to have bulletproof evidence to bring up that claim, because it'd be ridiculous. And they know they'd be made fun of because of exactly what we've been talking about for the past like 10 minutes. The idea that if you bring this up, you look ridiculous, which is kind of what they're doing to the left right now. Like, oh, look at all these crazy people. And I get it. It's mostly cope from them and it's pretty gay, but it's also like, you know, they're whatever. Like, let like don't be like that about it, I guess. I don't know. Just, it strikes me as gay. I don't know. I just feel like the right's kind of becoming what they hated, which is homos.
Yeah,
it, you know, very within very like gay. A day or two after this. So,
like, but yeah, immediately after.
Yeah, but I guess let's go ahead and get into it. I don't know where you want to start on this, but I know, you know, I've been paying attention a little bit to some of your ramblings online. With, you know, you've been going hard on it lately. I've seen lots of stuff, like things along the lines of connecting this somehow to Patriot Front, connecting, you know, this to Nazi groups. Something about Adam Lanza's mom being ATF informant. And so I need you to spell a lot of this stuff out for me tonight. And that's kind of what we're doing here. So, I mean, kind of just pick wherever you want to start, where you feel like it's the best place to start with it. I mean, it's been a while since we've done a Sandy Hook episode. So if you do want to like kind of go over some of the little, some of the basics for the audience, that may be jumping in now, feel free.
Okay.
I mean, shit, I probably could use a little bit of memory jogging, at least if you're getting too obscure with names and stuff. Maybe remind us, because it has been a minute. But the floor is yours.
All right. So quick rundown, if you're just jumping into part four, Sandy Hook happened on December 14th, 2012. An autistic invalid with three weapons killed 20 kids, six adults at Sandy Hook Elementary School, where he killed himself. I forgot he killed his mother before he went to the school. So that's the basic rundown of what happened that day. So I guess a good place to start without going down a big rabbit hole, because it is, it can be one, but he hit rooms 10 and 8, which when you enter the school, you go to the left, there would be the first, the second and third classrooms on the left. Before that is room 12. And room 12 was Miss Rogue's class. She's married now. It's hyphenated. I can't remember the other bit, but after the shooting, they started clearing people out. Miss Rogue told the police that the gunman had stole her cell phone. So you can see it in the footage. There's like this massive manhunt to find her cell phone. I forget the company, but it was ran out of a glass company close to the school.
A glass company?
It's like some glass something. I guess that was the base. It's in the damn police reports, but I can't remember like the exact name of it.
Do you know why that made my eyebrows raise a little bit? I mean, maybe,
yeah, because like, there was the Trump thing.
Yeah,
there was like a glass like, something.
What are the elites telling us, man? Okay, all right. I'm sure it's probably just a coincidence, because that is like.
Yeah, because I remember saying that earlier when that hit, and I was like, "It, there's fucking no way."
Another fucking crazy kid in a fucking glass company. But all right, go on.
All right, so, all right. Well, concerning Miss Rogue, she left before the manhunt to find her phone even ended. So that's odd. She didn't mention it. She was interviewed, I believe, the next day. No mention that someone that just killed almost 30 people had stolen her cell phone. And while this is relevant, it's like, all right, what does a missing cell phone matter? Is that in the police reports, there was also someone else that said their cell phone was missing. Miss Rogue's name's not redacted, but the other person's name who said their cell phone was missing is redacted. And it's giving an 04. And if you go to the redaction list, it'll tell you like what the numbers mean. 04 is a confidential informant. So a confidential informant let the police know that their cell phone is missing, which is like, all right, there's a confidential informant at Sandy Hook. But if you, they also gave graphics that show the pings of where the cell phones were pinging at. And it's not identical, but it's like almost virtually identical to where they pulled the man in the woods out of the woods. It's where that cell phone was pinging at. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of curious.
Yeah, that's weird. Yeah, I don't know if you want to jog the memory of the audience who the significance of the man in the woods.
All right, so there was a couple of them, but the main man in the woods, the one that the relevant one is the guy Roy Lowe, I believe is his name. He's the Jenks has made a bunch of edits with him. He says they pulled. He saw the cops pull a guy out of the woods. He looked at the parents and said, "I didn't do it." And they put him in the front of the police car. So that's basic rundown of officially who he is.
Yeah. And there wasn't one of them, might be mixing this up with another school shooting, but there was like an aerial video of them running outside the classroom. Yeah. Or is that, yeah, okay. I couldn't remember if that was Sandy Hook or not. And it looks like they're like, I don't remember if it was black stuff or if it was like almost like military fatigues it looked like. Obviously
for, the footage is of two journalists. That was like way later in the day. It was like the shooting happened at 9:50 and that aerial footage is like 11 or 12. So it was like two journalists trying to sneak into the perimeter to get pictures.
Okay. So that was one of those things that us schizos ran with and then they use it to describe this later. Okay.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Well, all right. Well, we can keep it moving.
All right. So why was there a confidential informant at Sandy Hook? So, like, it's an elementary school, so that makes no sense. Also, what would be relevant is there was a 12-gauge shotgun that Adam Lanza didn't use. It was in the passenger seat, and a cop moved it to the trunk of the car. So, for safety issues, he said. And what's interesting about this is there are two different 12-gauge Sega shotguns from the police reports. They have two different serial numbers from it was in his closet. They found a gun registration or paperwork. It wasn't a manual. So there's two Sega shotguns. Don't know where the other one went. But while that's relevant in the FBI reports, it says that they were investigating let me try to think of exactly how it was phrased, the illegal transfer of firearms and the use of stolen firearms at Sandy Hook. And as far as like officially, like they all belong to Nancy. So what the hell are they investigating then?
Yeah. All right. All right. Yeah. I mean, it's a little confusing. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Okay. Go on. I think I might be smelling what you're stepping in here. But let's keep it going. I guess maybe you'll make it a little more clear in a second.
Right. So there's an illegal shotgun, or let's not even say it was a shotgun. Let's say, all right, one of the guns at Sandy Hook was illegal. Okay. So that had to be Adam is like being clean, I guess, dirty gun. Okay. Anyway, why is this relevant? Well, they released all the, like how they tracked where Nancy bought the guns. Well, not all of it, but like what gun store gun purchases and sales.
You're not about to tell me it's from the Lone Wolf gun store, right? I don't even think that's the same state.
It was kind of. It's from, it was Riverview Gun Sales, something like that. It's like a really weird gun store that's really far away from where they live. So it's like, why the fuck would they go to this gun store? But when you go to the end of this document that goes through all the weapons, it says there was 54 pages of material was redacted for a grand jury. So what did they present to a grand jury? Because there's no one to prosecute from this, you would think.
Yeah. Real quick, when did Sandy Hook happen again? What year?
It was 2012.
2012. Okay. I'm only asking because I was just like, I looked up real quick. I was like, I wonder when the Fast and Furious scandal was, which was the gun scandal with the southern border. Although, I mean, I guess if we're geographically, I think I forget what where Sandy Hook was, but I believe it was in like what, New England area.
Connecticut.
Yeah, Connecticut. That's what I wanted to say, but I wasn't for sure. But even still, that would be, you know, roughly in the right time period. They said they ended it in 2011, so this could be one of those things where it's like, if anything,
the aftermath of it.
It's anything. It's more hush hush because of the fact that it's like, oh, we were supposedly done and we're not. So we, you know, one of those things where, oh shit, there's still stuff going on. We don't want that to be kind of shown. Kind of like the theories behind, you know, when it comes to like PacCon and OKC, because PacCon was supposedly already done by that point. You also have MK Ultra and Jonestown, where that kind of looks like it was a cleanup for Jonestown. So I don't know. I'm not saying that these are one for ones, but you know, kind of, I don't know. I think that's interesting. But all right, go on. Maybe will there be more to come?
To briefly touch up on Operation Fast and Furious, Eric Holder did run some sort of gun program in the state of Connecticut. It was called Project Longevity. I haven't looked that back up since researching again, but that is a rather loose connection as far as specifically related to Fast and Furious.
Yeah, he was also a big part of the Fed cover-up when it comes to trying to do stuff. Not like the on-the-ground cover-up, but like more like the legal side of things and in the media type stuff. That's where he was kind of managing things. So not saying he like necessarily had a hand in like killing Trinity or covering up its like in a overt sense, but more in like a covering for the agency type sense. All right. Anyways, go on.
Okay. So Eric Holder. All right. To get into, well, how could this possibly be related to PacCon? On December 12th, 2012, the mayor of Newark or Norfolk, I think it's one of them. I can't pronounce it. He announced that they were partnering with the ATF in this thing called Project Safe Neighborhoods. It would be a program of federal agencies working with local law enforcement to stop gun violence and track guns and stuff like that. Then 2 days later, Sandy Hook happened.
Yeah.
So, and we also have the ATF denying that, like, Nancy and Adam ever went to gun stores for at least the first week after the shooting. And then they're like, oh, yeah, it turned out they actually did weirdly go to a gun store to get a gun.
With Adam? Like, her and Adam?
Well, I mean, yes, or... yeah. They were both seen there. So, okay. Yeah, they would weird. Go occasionally.
Because I would, you know, Adam was a fucking weirdo, so you would think that it would just be like his mom went alone and, you know, brought the gun back type thing. He didn't seem to be much of the socializing kind, but anyways, yeah, I mean, maybe he was had a soft spot for guns. I have no idea. I mean, I guess if we're to assume he actually was the one who perpetrated the attack, then yeah, checks out. I mean, he was some fucking weird loner that got mind fucked and liked guns and did what he did.
All right. So we have a kind of a sketchy gun store, Riverview Gun Sales, where they lost their license just 6 days after the shooting. And one of the employees pled guilty to some gun related charge as far as the sale of firearms. I think they might be open, but they closed down for a little bit. They lost their license. So a lot of people don't know that December 14th actually has significance in the neo-Nazi movement or at least in the state of Connecticut. On December 14th, 1937, the state of Connecticut kicked the Nazis out because they were trying to make a camp and set up there. And they're like, no, this is some horseshit. Get the hell out of here. So that's ties into Nazi history. It's official. Well, they say it's the first defeat the Nazis had was being kicked out of the state of Connecticut.
Like the entire state type deal? Like illegally?
Yeah, they made it to where only the people that lived in the state of Connecticut could purchase land or something along those lines. It was something to where basically they would have to get the hell out.
Oh, so they were trying to pull like a free state type thing and move people there And so they made it so you had to be a fucking resident to buy what a fucking, all right.
They were trying to set up some Hitler youth camp or something along those lines.
Okay. Also, 14 is the 14 words, so that's part of 1488. So maybe there's something to that.
Look at there.
Yeah, I know my Nazi my Nazi facts. I don't even remember what the 14 words are, to be honest. And honestly, the 14 words, I'll go ahead and say it. From what I recall, they really weren't that offensive.
It's something preserving the white race, something along there.
I think it was just like not even. I don't even think it said white race. I forget what it was.
Like our white future children, something along those lines.
Like, why wouldn't you want your children to have a good future? Like, I guess it depends on how you interpret it, really.
they take a drastic turn.
Yeah, but all right. Well, what else we got?
Okay, so kind of basic information is all right. Well. December 14th, Nazis still don't see the connection. Kind of a normie mainstream thing is that Adam Lanza was a big fan of Anders Breivik. If you don't know who Anders Breivik was, he was the gunman in Norway. He blew up, I think basically it was a federal building and like killed around 77 people in total. He went to some island dressed as a policeman and killed a bunch of kids. And he was basically a neo-Nazi type dude. Is what they claim, and Adam Lanza was a big fan of him.
Wasn't that like a landmark gun case there in that country too, or something? Like there was
any huge... sort of shooting outside of America, they almost always use it to take guns away. It's been that way since Port Arthur and Scotland or wherever it was.
Yeah, I just feel like if I recall correctly, that was one of those ones that after the fact it glued like a motherfucker too. But I don't remember the specifics on that one. But yeah, it. I just remember one time going to a little dive, and I think it may have been that one, and it glue after, which, I don't know. Anyways, yeah.
Yeah, he's Breivik is a spooky dude, as far as what I've seen on him, as far as that goes.
Yeah, glows a little bit. All right, so we got Nazi stuff, December 14th. All right, where are we going with this?
All right, so let's tie it back to Miss, not Miss Russo, damn, I forget, Miss Rogue, there we go. Almost forgot her name. So we got all these points that don't seem to connect. So there was this, I believe his name was Mr. Vega. He called the police department and he told them that he was on the phone with someone when the shooting happened. And they're like, oh, that sounds interesting. It turns out he was on the phone with Miss Rogue. And Miss Rogue said she saw the substitute teacher fumbling with the emergency folder, like she couldn't find the keys in it to lock the door. And that was basically what he told the police, and the police were like, all right, well, since you're out of state, call us back. He called back and he's like, y'all still want to talk to me? They're like, nah, never mind. And he's like, what the fuck? So they never re-interviewed him. Mm-hmm. And why this is established, this did happen because Lenny Posner did try to sue the town of Newtown over this. It was a over negligence because they couldn't lock the door. Mm-hmm. So my opinion is there was a mole that purposely removed those keys. Now, I don't have the hard facts on that. I just know that the keys were for sure not there, but everybody else either had the janitor lock their door, they fled, or they were able to lock their door somehow.
All right, so let me recap this. I may have missed some points, but the individual who lost their phone, later loses their phone. They had called someone. I forget. Maybe who did they call?
It happened, she was on the phone.
Okay, there we go. So that would have been.
It pops off, and he heard it start basically.
And that's at the same time the one broad's fiddling with her keys or trying to get the keys and failing.
Yeah, it was Miss Russo. She was the teacher in room 8. Which also begs another question, how the fuck did she see Miss Russo? Because Miss Russo's in room 8, she's in room 12, so that could be another simple cover-up of negligence of like, well, were you not in room 12 when it started? Like, how can you see her? Because if there were adjoining doors, I think it would have been 10 and 8, not 12, 10 and 8. So there's a question of how did she see her?
Yeah, all right, and so she, okay, that would make sense for, oh no, my phone's gone later, if something incriminating happened at that point in time, that, oh shit, we need to ditch the evidence type deal, or at least have a cover. But go on.
A brief detour. I'm I think the police just put that in the police reports to cover up for the guy in the woods, because like they actually did find her phone. You want to take a guess where it was?
In the woods?
No. Well, somebody's phone was, but her phone was in the damn in room 12. It was in her classroom.
Okay. I guess I'm struggling to see what the significance of that is.
Clearly she never mentioned it, and her phone was in the classroom. So, like, did she ever really try to find her phone? Because, like, we only have the reports claiming that she said her phone was lost. She never herself said her phone was lost.
Huh. Oh, okay. So
it's kind of it's using like, an official reason to why they're pinging cell phones.
Okay. All right. And then also, if there is incriminating stuff there, now someone's providing that. Now, obviously, maybe she didn't get the memo or whatever, and that's why she's somewhat conflicting it by never saying she, you know, reported herself or whatever. But yeah, okay, I get what you're saying now. All right.
So if we're gonna work with, all right, well, let's say there was a mole. Well, who the hell could have been the mole? I don't know if they've ever. Room 10 and 8 did have teacher aides. I don't know if they've ever said that Miss Rogue had a teacher aide. I'm assuming she did. She was also a first grade teacher. But the key's missing. We do know there were reports that there was either some sort of altercation and people saw Adam at Sandy Hook. Or we know for sure his GPS was near the area. So with Adam Lanza.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Being there, he's for sure, at least we know for sure, staking out the school. But clearly, Adam Lanza wouldn't have access to get those keys out of the classrooms that were missing.
Mm-hmm. And you said with the GPS, when it comes to, I'm assuming that's pinging the phone still. Is that what we're getting at?
No, he has Adam Lanza, I'm sorry. Adam Lanza had a GPS in his car. A lot of his movements can be tracked. Well, he went here or there. And December 13th, he went to a location close to Sandy Hook.
Okay. All right. Cool. So then the assumption would be that he like then walked from there or something along those lines.
All right. So Miss Soto, she was in room 10. We're assuming her keys are missing too. I don't believe it was in the emergency folder. Also, I haven't refreshed my memory on this, but I also believe her personal car keys. I don't think they logged that into evidence. So Miss Soto was high school friends with someone named Jessica Zerlock. So she was at a vigil the next day, December 15th. She had a sign. But it turns out that this Jessica Zerlock that knew Miss Soto also knows or is related to Kenneth Zerlock. And Kenneth Zerlock back then was involved in a big ATF case involving the Connecticut White Wolves, which is a big neo-Nazi organization. Or I think they disbanded. It was back then.
Okay. All right. So we have two loose connections to a neo-Nazi group is what you're saying here, correct? I just want to make sure that I got that correct.
Yes. As far as people involved in the shooting knowing each other.
Yeah.
It goes from Miss Soto to Jessica Zerlock to Kenneth Zerlock.
Okay. All right. And how was Kenneth Zerlock connected to this again? Is it through
Kenneth Zerlock? Kenneth Zerlock is Jessica Zerlock's brother.
Okay. All right. Okay. So you're just saying that one teacher was high school friends with someone who was brother with some spooky fuck, essentially.
Yeah, pretty much. Okay. The basic rundown on him is in 2010, he was they made a case. He was selling firearms and I think homemade grenades. He thought he was selling it to someone in the Klan, but it turned out to be an FBI informant.
Okay.
Pretty much.
And, is there anything more to tie this guy into this, or is that it? Because, I mean, obviously that's pretty tenuous. as it is. All right. But, I mean, interesting, right, but tenuous.
Okay, so you have, connecting Columbine to Sandy Hook, Adam Lanza officially was like basically a Columbine copycat. So, whatever. And loosely, mainstream media reports that Columbine was kind of this white supremacist thing. They liked Hitler, and we knew the Klan was involved in other white supremacist groups in the Littleton area leading up to the shooting. So how would you, outside of Adam Lanza being a fan of Dylan Klebold and Eric Harris, how would you connect Columbine to Sandy Hook? Well, in 2012, there was this shooting at, if I mispronounce it, it's a Sikh temple or whatever. It's like I think they're Indians. I'm not real sure what religion it is, but it was in Wisconsin. And this place was shot up by a guy named Wade Michael Page. He was a Democracy Now! Reported that he was former PSYOPs in the military. He was arrested in Littleton in 1999. And he was big in the white supremacist scene. So, all right, so a white supremacist shoots up this temple. And investigators said that he was providing terroristic funds to other white supremacist groups. And then he was in a band, and one of his music videos, when the credits roll, thank you to our other supporters, and it says Battalion 14, Connecticut White Wolves, towards the end of the credits. So was this Columbine guy providing funding to this white supremacist group in the state of Connecticut?
All right. So we have more, just a bunch of scattershot, tenuous neo-Nazi connections is what it sounds like.
As far as the date goes of the shooting, we know that the Connecticut White Wolves have done shit on that date. Like in 2009, I believe they protested at like a, what is it? It's a synagogue, but it's like a menorah or some candlelight thing. And they showed up and protested that on December, I think they actually might have done it December 13th, 2009.
Okay. And we kind of already covered a little bit ago, I don't know if how we tied it, that Lanza's mom may have been the informant, is what we were alluding to. I don't know if we straight up said that. What made you believe she was the informant? So I can recall. Because I have a point.
All right. So about 2 or 3 days before the shooting, she went to New Hampshire to this big fancy hotel. And this was actually reported on pretty early. And can't remember who she was texting, but she texted someone that she saw this tattoo couple. They have skull and crossbones poking up at the bottom of their collar. So the theory is like maybe someone fucking found out she was the damn informant. Because this is kind of loosely connected, but if you look at the walkthrough of 36 Uganda, it looks like someone rammed the damn garage door, like drove through it.
Okay. The reason why I brought that up is because I know, at least this is I think maybe we talked about this in a previous episode. I know this is a fact that's come up a lot with me and Austin between our number of series we've done and Already Dead. The fact that Adam Lanza and James Holmes' fathers were both involved in the LIBOR scandal, which was like a big, like international, like monetary scandal, like some sort of scam they were essentially pulling. I don't know the details of it, but yeah, the two of them were, so just, that's interesting between the dad being, involved in being one of the witnesses called to testify for LIBOR, the LIBOR scandal trials. And then you also have on the other hand, the possibility that Adam's mom is an ATF informant. So we've got a lot of glowing things going on. So, but I guess go ahead.
I'm sorry. I've been a little scattered brain, but as far as like really tying it in is, there's this like crazy conspiracy form. It's called Godlike Forms, which is big on Sandy Hook posting when it first happened, is apparently that if Lanza might have been related to the User family loosely somehow, and the User family was this big crime family in the state of Connecticut. In 2011, George User Sr. and Jr. were prosecuted on basically gun trafficking. They provided a lot of guns for the Latin Kings, which was, I guess, some sort of gang in the state of Connecticut. So, and well, why does that matter? Well, Jessica Zerloff was also married to, I think his name was Anthony User. So you have like User, Zerloff, and possibly this Lonza family connection going on.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, so we got a lot going on, a lot of glowing. Unfortunately, it seems like we're still in the world of just making connections. But, you know, we're creatures that do pattern recognition. So I think it's worth, you know, setting out the pattern and letting people know, because I do think there is something to pattern recognition. Obviously, none of this is a fucking bulletproof, but there's a lot of weird shit going on here. So I'll let you pick up back up wherever you want. I kind of pulled it back a little bit. I just wanted to bring up though juxtapose the mom and the father there, and just kind of make that point, because it's like, hey, well, fucking lots going on here, guys.
Briefly on Peter Lonza, if you want to look at the ATF informant, or maybe he was the informant. He was involved in a giant financial company. He was wealthy. Maybe he knew shady dealings. But when they discovered where Pete Alonzo lived the day of the shooting, like a reporter just showed up to his fucking house. And he was like, hey. And she was like, hey. Like, what the fuck do you want? Like, you know your son's a mass murderer? And, well, he's like, oh, that's weird. And he claims he went inside and watched the news, but he immediately disappeared, like, right after that. Like, relocated. None of his neighbors knew where the hell he went. As far as I'm aware, he still knows where the hell he is.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I can't blame him. It's kind of a wild situation to find yourself in. What does one really do? So, to be fair, I guess I'm not drawing a lot of conclusions from that. If one of my kids just murdered a bunch of little kids, I don't know. I very well might sell my house and just disappear too. especially being a well-known guy as he is. So, but I mean, shit. I mean, hell. Even if the official narrative was completely true. And this guy was in some spooky LIBOR stuff, and he had dealing with these very powerful entities, that have a lot to lose depending on what he says. I don't know. I would just get schizo just from that, like, oh fuck, what did they do to my kid? Whether or not it's true, just because it's like the idea that these two things would coexist just in one's own life, you'd just be like, dude, what the fuck is going on? Like, they are after me. But anyways,
All right, to briefly touch, like, well, all right, well, if Sandy Hook was some sort of white supremacist deal, then, like, what sort of white supremacist tactics did they use? All right, well, there was a purple van fled Sandy Hook. I believe it was in Danbury. It was, like, at 33 Crosby Street. It went over the CAD report. The CAD report is basically just an automated text version of the police scanner. So it was reported a purple van fled Sandy Hook with people in ski masks and dressed as nuns. So it's like, all right. And one of the only witnesses to actually see the gunman said he was wearing a mask. Well, at the Wade Michael Page, when he started his rampage in the FBI reports, he pulled up in a purple car. Which is, I mean, what are the fuck, like, two shooters, purple vehicles? So that's more pattern recognition stuff, as far as that goes.
Yeah, I mean, that reminds me of the ARA, too. I mean, this probably means absolutely nothing, but the ARA, they were robbing banks in disguises and shit. And, like, with the goofy stuff you see in movies, like President Masks and dumb shit like that, or dressed as women or whatever. So, I mean, dressed as nuns, I mean, that just kind of made me think of it. But, yeah.
And as far as originally conspiracy guys ran with Christopher Rodia. He was pulled over, I believe, officially in Greenwich, somewhere close to 33 Crosby Street. But they originally tried to say that, oh, they said over the police scanner when they called out his license plate, that's Adam Lonza's vehicle. Why is he using his vehicle? That turned out to be a dead end because it was all cobbled together, the police scanner that they released in a video. But, all right, well, why is this relevant? Rodia lived at 11 Balmer Street. He lived with George User Jr. And if you pull up his house on Google Maps around June, July-ish in 2012, there's a van there. And we know George User Jr. also lived there. His pickup truck was there. So you have a van with someone close to Sandy Hook, possibly. So
All right. Yeah, and this is a user family that we've already kind of drawn some loose connections. I guess that tightens up the rope a little bit. Yeah, what else we got?
All right. So the van. Let me think for just a second. So as far as him, like the dude's a junkie. So as far as like his involvement, he wasn't directly involved at all, I don't believe, besides the, some sort of family connection.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, these were the guys moving guns and involved with neo-Nazi groups. So they just kind of, I don't know, just demonstrates the connection a little bit. Yeah. And you said there was that purple van that that fucking left, would it leave the scene or was there the day of the shooting? When was they were there?
I believe at 10 to 11, it was, it went over the police scanner that a purple van reportedly fleeing the school scene and Danbury officers are investigating. Okay. But they were dressed as nuns and wearing masks.
Yeah,
and that's also one of the only witnesses to see the shooter said he was wearing a mask. Mm-hmm. In the final report, that's also one of the big reasons why all the cops believed there was still a gunman at large.
Wait, there were people who that like witnessed the shooting that claimed to see people in masks.
Yeah, it was Natalie Hammond. She caught a bullet to the leg. And in her report, I think they interviewed her at the hospital. She said he was wearing a mask.
Did she say any kind of mask? Because you said nuns. These people were nun nun disguises of some sort.
I mean, well, as far as I believe shooters would have entered the front and the back. Like, for example, Adam Lanza didn't go through the front window. So there's no glass in his shoes. And in the reports going over his shoe, there's no mention. He didn't step on that damn hole. He stepped on glass. So the question is, who did she see?
Yeah, it's odd. Yeah, so they saw people in masks. I guess I don't know how to tie that. It doesn't necessarily tie into the nuns, but either way, that's interesting. There were people who saw masks. It's hard to discard the idea that a fucking purple van of nuns fled the scene. But okay, yeah, all right, let's keep it going.
Well, as far as Kenneth Zerlot date was on March 22nd, 2012, which if anyone knows anything about Skull and Bones, that's kind of like your big holiday. So like just like randomly saying that, that doesn't mean anything, but what do we know about Adam Lanza? He was involved with Yale and the Yale Child Study. And strangely, I don't think maybe it's connected, but like all right, March 22nd, 2010, that whole shit happens with Starlock. Just 2 months later is like the last picture we have of Adam Lanza posing with the AR-15. It was in May, something like that. So like someone involved with getting charged with trafficking guns might be aggravated about somebody that set him up for it.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. So that's kind of what you're alluding to, that maybe Adam was upset about somehow getting screwed over or something.
Zerlock.
Zerlock. Okay.
Because we know he was, because in the indictment, that's why the lawyer wanted to hold him on bond or something like that, because he's like, who the hell are the witnesses? We want to know, like we got to find out who they are. And his defense attorney argued, no, he just wanted to know the evidence they had against him. He's not really that mad about it.
So is it kind of the angle that you're getting at here, that this was somehow, how do I put this? Almost like a neo-Nazis upset and this somehow exploded. And so this was more of like some sort of big Fed fuck up. And now we have to institute some sort of quick cover up or something along those lines.
We know that the ATF,
We
know the ATF was running gun programs in Connecticut with the Latin Kings and the Connecticut White Wolves. That's a fact. Project Safe Neighborhoods, the mayor admitted it. And the ATF busted the users, and you have Zerlock being busted by an FBI agent, or not an informant.
Yeah.
So we know there was obvious sort of gun walking programs going on in the state of Connecticut around this time period.
Yeah. I guess I'm just trying to see how this then connects to a school shooting. Like, so the angle of how kids end up getting shot, or teachers, or whatever. And then I guess, how a school is involved. I guess I could be imaginative and consider, I mean, if you have key people in the school involved in some sort of gun running thing, I mean, an elementary school would be probably one of the last places anyone would suspect. So, and you see, you know, they get food deliveries and stuff in the back, buses, big vehicles. So I don't think anyone, you could probably easily, you know, in and out, you know, at odd hours or whatever. I just feels like you could probably run that to as a, some sort of on the down low front of, you know, running guns. That would be not a bad facility to run it out of.
So I think Sandy Hook, clearly there's something weird with the school. So my theory is the gunman was looking for a witness involved in one of those cases. And when one of the teachers wouldn't tell them who the witness they were looking for, like, who's so-and-so's kid, which one is it? They just tossed everyone.
So you think someone was looking for some key person's kid is what you're alluding to?
Yeah.
Okay.
We do know, people bring this up a lot about the parents, but we know for sure that Chris Fanfredonia moved into the state of Connecticut, like, within the year leading up to the shooting. I think he was a PE teacher over at the high school, something like that. And his daughter was supposed to be making gingerbread houses around the time the shooting started. So we know there's, as far as if there are witnesses, there are people being moved into this state shortly following the shooting, or not following, before the shooting. So kind of maybe key people that might have to testify, something along those lines.
Oh, so this is where you would get powers that be or somehow, I don't know if anyone would be able to coordinate that to get accidentally get enough witnesses there. I don't know. I guess I'm just trying to wrap my head around how that would work. I guess it's just, this is more of an outside the box theory I haven't heard. So I'm just trying to wrap my head around it. I kind of jumped ahead.
Big example as far as the hoaxer crowd goes, they use it to argue that it's fake. Like, all of these people moved to the state of Connecticut, like, before the shooting. Like, clearly, they're setting it up to be fake. Mm-hmm. Or maybe they're setting up these people over here because they're in a witness protection program or something along those lines.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that would make sense. Oh. Yeah, because if you did a witness program thing, you would think you would have certain facilities you would use. Yeah. All right. So if you have
The Lonza family, after this 2009, we basically don't know dick about them. Like, Adam falls off the face of the earth. Okay. So that's also maybe someone you would want to kind of keep quiet if they were involved with how a bunch of neo-Nazis got firearms.
That's genius. That's like a pretty, because now I'm thinking about it, because now all the crisis actor shit, oh, look at these people pointing out weird consistencies. A lot of that could be attributed to the fact that a lot of these guys were in witness protection. So it's like they're already in a weird situation of they have to protect their identity and stick to their new weird identities or whatever. And so it just provides confusion for people out there. But I mean, I don't know. I guess maybe I feel like someone would crack, but obviously not all of the parents would probably be. But anyways, I'm still just wrapping my head around it. That's a lot. And it's an interesting thing to think about.
I like to point out is the firehouse was like right before you turn into Sandy Hook, like the Newtown Fire Department. The thing had 7 garage doors. I don't know how big your fire department is, but I'm from a small town. Mine here is probably bigger than it should be. It has 2 garage doors. And like Chicago has like 2 to 4 doors. Like, why does this like small town in Newtown have a fire department that has 7 garage doors at like close to Sandy Hook? So my theory is that might have been sort of some sort of operating base, because you would want to conceal a lot of people leaving and coming to the area.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, maybe.
Maybe they just had a big budget. Maybe it was just that.
I don't know. Because I mean, I feel like I've seen some ones with a lot of garages. I mean, most of them, like little towns, yeah, you'll have like 2, maybe 3, but I feel like I've seen some big ones. So I guess 7 is just not that huge of a stretch. I don't know. But maybe not. I don't know. I don't know enough about fire stations.
To be fair, but that does seem like a big ass fire department for a kind of small town. People kind of go to escape from things.
Yeah. Okay. That threw me for a loop. I don't even really know where to go from there. I was like, cause I hadn't really ever considered that possibility. That would explain a lot. I mean, shit, because, I mean, with the LIBOR scandal going on right there, I mean, fuck. I mean, that could have some part in it, in the fact that...
You would want to have some kind of spooky headquarters, yeah. At least for something going on, probably.
Yeah. Shit. Yeah, so they'd be... Yeah, they could have been where they sent some of the... Although that'd be weird if Adam Lanza is there and they're sending people there. Because, I mean, he's going by his real name, I'd assume, if he's already testifying.
I mean...
I don't know.
Maybe. I'm not even... It might be as well. All right. Yeah. I will. The people that always used to go against the hoaxers on the Newtown Bee archive, like they did report on Adam Long and Ryan Lonzo, like way back in the day when they were little kids playing baseball. So, all right. To be fair, it's probably his real name.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I was just thinking because if it was like, say, it was related to LIBOR scandal and he's living there and there's also a witness protection thing, I'm like, dude, you're drawing attention, just living yeah. your normal life, being real, dude. But yeah, I don't know. All right. Something to consider. I don't know if you have anything more to support that. I mean, it's an interesting theory.
That's a little sidebar as far as the, yeah. That's way too many doors.
Yeah, we can work there.
Kind of goofy, non sequitur.
Yeah, but we can get there. I don't know if there, we were kind of talking about the Nazi connections kind of vaguely. I don't know if there's anywhere you want to pick back up with that.
As far as they claim Lonzo wore a vest. Mm-hmm. Which they've never released a single image of. So, I mean, it's in the reports. It was, they claim it was an Eddie Bauer vest, but he could have had, I don't know, he's a crazy school shooter. He could have had things written
like
on it.
Like one of those leather ones, like vests?
Yeah, it was basically like an Eddie Bauer fisherman's vest type deal. It had like two or four front pockets, something like that.
Well, I'm trying to think of the style because immediately, like you suggest that, and you're like, well, does it have patches on it or something? You know what I mean? Because
yeah,
be...
like something along those lines.
Yeah. So I'm like, I'm trying to imagine what that looks like. So what is that one
like
again?
Like a fisherman type thing.
A fisherman.
Or what they claim it is.
Jacket Eddie like Bauer. All right.
It being green, greenish colors.
Yeah, that would be one I could see if you were part of some sort of Nazi. A group that I could see you putting patches and stuff like that on it. Anyways, I don't know if you have any. There was any other like point to the jacket,
far as,
or if your head was in the same spot.
All right, to get like all right, factual and enough of the pattern recognition. Sorry for being scatterbrained. Everyone forgets, or not everyone forgets. There's a felon's DNA popped on the 22 Savage. And the mainstream media tried to say that it was someone sent mail there and the DNA was on the mail. There's a whole rabbit hole with the person that delivered that mail and she either got fired or disappeared. But the person that set up Zerlot was a felon. So, and whoever attacked Room 10 and Nancy Lonzo was very clearly angry. Nancy was shot in the face four times. And, I said Room 10, I meant Room 8. Everyone was shot like fish in a barrel in Room 8. So, from opinion, this is not something I believe Adam Lonzo would have been capable of. Not getting into how tall he was and how much he weighed, but like, that's like personal. Yeah. Someone very, very, very angry.
Yeah. Yeah, that does seem a bit much. I mean, we have covered in previous episodes the state of his body. It is just not, it doesn't seem plausible that he carried this out on its own. Like, he is such a frail man that it's just like, I mean, hell, even just, I don't know, I've gone done range days, and after a while, your arms get a little tired. And I'm like a big, yep. beefy boy. Like, I'm short. I'm like 5'5", 200 pounds. Like, so, but like, you get tired. I mean, it's like, rifles aren't like, especially rifle shot. What did he have? Did he have a rifle, I'm assuming? You said they had a shotgun,
yeah,
in the car, but he didn't use it, right?
Well, there is victim's DNA on the shotgun, so
yeah.
So it's how the fuck that happened. I think in the Sandy Hook after action report, the prosecutor tried to claim it was transference evidence, which is, I mean, you have that on everything. So like, then how can we trust the investigation then?
Yeah, but the rifle, I mean, was it an AR? I know, because I mean,
there's a Bushmaster.
Okay, so it was a semi-automatic. So like. But I mean, I would still assume that's like, I mean, I think a Bushmasters are pretty light, if I recall. I've seen them. I don't think I've ever shot one. But either way, it's still like fucking I mean, that would get tiring for a little fucking, he was, I don't remember, he was like, what, 6 foot tall, roughly, probably maybe, what, 120 pounds, something ridiculous. He was
112 pounds. He weighed less than Christian Bale in The Machinist.
Yes, that's who we're talking about.
Yeah.
So, yes, go look up Christian Bale in The Machinist. That's basically what we're talking about. This
and
guy,
he had a size 8.5 shoe. He's 6 foot tall.
Like
tiny
really,
feet, frail. Yeah.
Like, I almost feel like I could take him in an altercation with a gun. Like, this is the level of, like,
talking about someone who would hide in his bathroom and cry for hours because he was scared to go to class.
Yeah. I mean, even if he had a fit of rage, it's just like that, just wouldn't have the physical capability or coordination to do that.
One of those teachers could fuck him up easy. Clap his ass around.
Yeah. All right. Anything else in the realm of PatCon, or the Nazis? We're at an hour. So, I mean, if you have a ton more, we can save it for another episode, or if it's a little bit more, we can finish out here.
Go ahead. All right. So, The Man in the Woods, it was original. All right. We touched on him earlier. Someone in the woods said he didn't do it. His, a cell phone pinged around to his area is, originally, it was reported by the Newtown Bee in Salon that it was an off-duty tactical officer from New York. So, are you trying to explain away, like, maybe a felon from New York was there? Was really a tactical officer? Like I think even, like, Salon said he had a gun on him.
Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry, go ahead.
So, as far as, like, some sort of shady undercover, we know for a fact there was confidential informants at Sandy Hook. Mm-hmm. And then you have these publications saying, well, no, he was just a off undercover cop that was there when the shooting started.
Okay. Gotcha. All right. Any other glowing things you would like to bring up before Sandy Hook? I know you've been digging into this quite a bit, or any other sidebars that you want to go down? Because we still got time.
Okay. All right. There are a lot of glowing things. I mean, as far as Adam Lanza and his life, but as far as the white supremacist angle, he was a big fan of Anders Breivik. You have him possibly working with white supremacist groups. You have ATF programs going on, and you have a shooting with perhaps maybe guns from this Fast and Furious program, or guns that was used in maybe some ATF things or busts. So we know for a fact there was illegal firearms at Sandy Hook. So why were they illegal? Why did they federally prosecute someone based off of Nancy Lanza's gun sales and purchases? Because she's dead. So who would you put in, I presume, prison if they federally prosecuted someone?
Yeah. That is weird. I'm trying to understand how that could happen. Like, and in what way would it be a federal gun crime for guns that were there? And who got charged? I'm assuming this is redacted to the gills, all the information.
It's actually on video. I got it on Sandusky. He wrote the final report. He was being, it was a FOIA request. I think it was someone working with AP. He asked, was anyone prosecuted because of Sandy Hook? And he asked, like, well, the state level? And the guy interviewing was like, wait, what? Well, he's like, well, was it state level? He's like, no. He's like, what about federal? And he's like, well, I believe something that floated out of the shooting at Sandy Hook resulted in a federal arrest. And then he clammed up. Then he wouldn't, like, reveal anymore. But I guess he realized, like, oh, shit, I don't think I was supposed to say that.
Okay, then where do we come to find out the federal gun charge aside from that? Because that just sounds like that might not necessarily, it just sounded like a federal charge, unless I misheard you.
So what happened at Sandy Hook, the events that day resulted in someone being federally prosecuted, is what the.
Go ahead.
So, I mean, you do now, as far as I think with Cremo or some other shooter, they tried to prosecute the parents. They did try to sue Remington after the shooting, but like, everyone that acquired those guns and sold it died that day of the shooting. So, like, there's no one left to prosecute. Yeah. They're not prosecuting someone at the gun store.
I'm just wondering how we know that someone actually got charged with it. I mean, maybe I'm missing something here.
He was Sandusky. Sandusky wrote the final report on Sandy Hook. So if he's saying someone was federally charged because of Sandy Hook, then
my point is when you referred to him, you said someone got federally charged, but at one point you said gun charge. So maybe you just didn't specify that he said that. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm missing something. I just figured maybe
He said someone was federally charged because of Sandy Hook. I don't believe he said someone was federally charged because someone was charged because of a gun charge. What he said specifically in that interview, he said there was a federal arrest because of Sandy Hook.
All right. Yeah, I don't know what would be the federal because, everyone fucking died. All right. I guess we're probably at a good point. Maybe I can bring you back on some point and we can flesh out your theory. Because I'm assuming, I don't know if you're just going on instinct on that. Or if you have a lot of sources for that. I mean, or if you can just break down your logic because that does... I do find that interesting. That's a compelling theory. But I mean, if there's more you do want to talk about while you're here, we have time. Let me know. But otherwise, I guess we're probably at a good spot. So, any final thoughts, or any other tangents we want to go down?
No, I don't got my notes in front of me, so I have been a little scatterbrained this episode. So I am sorry for that. So
you're okay.
It kind of comes with the territory about talking like this, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, it is all like everything got clammed up so quick with that one. That was one of the weirdest things about Sandy Hook. So really, any sort of research into it is usually going to be pretty all over the place. And it's going to be just a lot of pattern recognition because there doesn't seem to be a lot official that people can really get a hold of. So getting like primary stuff is kind of hard. And a lot of things are redacted, so you're piecing together a lot of disparate information. But I guess if you want to, like I said, any final thoughts, or if you want to let people know where to find you, now's your time, with your Twitter account. I don't know if you got any other things you're working on these days or thinking about working on, but you let the audience know if so.
All right. I only get on Twitter, and it's Jolly and Quibold, so that's where you can find me if you want to talk to me.
Yeah, and that that edit you guys saw earlier, that was him. That thing was fucking dope. I've listened to it a bunch. That song is sick. If you guys want to be able to get this stuff early, because my patrons are getting this episode about a week early, you need to go to patreon.com/nowayjose2020. And I always give a shout out to my sponsors, which Tim Tuttle here is one of them, and I appreciate you for that. I also have my co-host Toad. You can follow him at Tiger Gang Toad. They have at Abrogate D's and at @ZOVERACK. @_InfiniteZeal, Jacob Daniel of the Biblical Anarchy Podcast, @BiblicalAnarchy. And then I also have my buddy Will Bell, who has this delicious blueberry wine. Rabbit Eye is what it's called. Go look it up online. You can get it delivered to you in most states. Like, share, subscribe, comment, all that good stuff. This will not be on YouTube. So definitely help a brother out. But with that, we are out.